Mark and I work hand in hand on this, and contrary to maybe popular belief, we're partners to see that this is completed.
Senator Richard Burr talking about the Intelligence Committee in the Senate working on the investigation to Russian meddling in the election. Burr said Democrats and Republicans are both going to go where the evidence leads. White House spokesman Sean Spicer says the White House is sick of dealing with these Russia issues. He says it's been proven repeatedly there's no connection.
I get that sometimes it's frustrating to us. I believe that we want this over as much as I think some of you, but we recognize that there's a process that has to take place.
President Trump calling out some members of his own party. Trump tweeted today, "The Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on the team and fast. We must fight them and the Democrats in 2018. You're listening to USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries,
nations, that judge's action means it will stay blocked for as long as it's being fought over in court. You're listening to USA Radio News.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does...
An employee is facing charges for her contacts with foreign intelligence agents, as we hear from correspondent Mark Mayfield.
Candace Claiborne was arrested on charges of obstructing an investigation and making false statements to the FBI. She's accused of hiding her contact with Chinese businessmen who gave her thousands of dollars worth of gifts. The Department of Justice says that the 60-year-old used her position for personal profit.
The FAA says an American Airlines co-pilot died while landing a plane in New Mexico. The Boeing 737 flying from Dallas to Albuquerque was 2 miles from Albuquerque International when it happened. They performed CPR on First Officer William Grubbs for about 40 minutes before he was pronounced dead. More than a dozen people dead after a church bus crash in South Texas yesterday. State troopers say 13 members of the First Baptist Church in New Braunfels died, as did the driver of the bus and a pickup truck driver that slammed into it. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. I scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. You know what doesn't make sense? If a car is called a horseless carriage, why isn't a motorcycle called a horseless horse? Maybe it would just be adding insult to injury for the out-of-work horses.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
President Trump wants to spend $1 trillion on U.S. infrastructure, and the Transportation Department says it will be announced later this year. It's called a strategic, targeted program of investment that will boost American infrastructure over the next decade. The program is going to cover transportation as well as energy and water infrastructure. More now on a petition demanding that President Trump's wife, the First Lady, as well as their son, move to the White House or pay for security at Trump Tower in New York City. We get the latest from correspondent Scott Pringle.
The NYPD says it costs at least $127,000 a day to secure Melania Trump and the couple's son. This online petition states that this is an exorbitant amount of money for taxpayers, and it could go toward relieving the national debt. It's believed the First Lady and son will stay at Trump Tower at least through the end of the school year. More than 200,000 have signed the petition. They're demanding the two move to the White House or pay the security bill.
Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos is now the second richest person on the planet. The latest Bloomberg Billionaires Index says he has a net worth of $75.6 billion with a B dollars. That moves him $200 million ahead of legendary investor Warren Buffett. And as he's done for 18 of the past 23 years, Microsoft founder Bill Gates leads the world in wealth, currently with $86 billion. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome back to Good Morning Internet. I'm Jim Maria.com. There it is, a little REO Speedwagon, a little blast from the 80s. A little history, not the history, but history nonetheless. Speaking of history, it's time for us to check out a little history from .com. It is January 5th, 2015, 16, excuse me. Yeah, I did it. That's the first one, repeating the wrong year. Soon I'll be throwing out a bunch of checks. 1933 is the lead story. On this day in January 53, construction begins on the Golden Gate Bridge as workers begin excavating 3.25 million cubic feet of dirt for the structure's huge anchorages. Following the gold rush boom that began in 1849, speculators realized the land north of San Francisco Bay would increase in value in direct proportion to its accessibility to the city. Soon, a plan was hatched to build a bridge that would span the Golden Gate, a narrow 400-foot-deep strait that served north of the San Francisco Bay, connecting the San Francisco Peninsula with the southern end of Marin County. In 1781, American trader and British Brigadier General Benedict Arnold enjoys his greatest success as a British commander on this day in 1781. Arnold's 1,600 largely loyalist troops sailed up the James River at the beginning of January, eventually landing in Westover, Virginia. Leaving Westover on the afternoon of January 4th, Arnold and his men arrived at the virtually undefended capital city of Richmond for the next afternoon. In 1957, in response to the increasing tense situation in the Middle East, President Dwight D. Eisenhower delivers a proposal to Congress that calls for a new and more proactive U.S. policy in the region. The Eisenhower Doctrine, as the proposal soon came to be known, established the Middle East as a Cold War battlefield. And we're still dealing with the Middle East. It's still part of the Cold War, even though the Cold War is over. Continue to deal with Russia or the United Soviet Socialist Republic. In 1970, the bodies of dissident union leader Jack Yablonsky, his wife and daughter, are discovered in their Clarksville, Pennsylvania farmhouse by Yablonsky's son, Kenneth. The family had been dead for nearly a week, killed on New Year's Eve by United Mine Workers union leadership. Yablonsky's murder eventually brought down the whole union leadership and ended the widespread corruption of the union under UMW President Tony Boyle.
Nations, that judge's action means it will stay blocked for as long as it's being fought over in court. You're listening to USA Radio News.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you...
An employee's facing charges for her contacts with foreign intelligence agents, as we hear from correspondent Mark Mayfield.
Candace Claiborne was arrested on charges of obstructing an investigation.
A farmhouse by Yablonsky's son, Kenneth. The family had been dead for nearly a week, killed on New Year's Eve by United Mine Workers union leadership. Yablonsky's murder eventually brought down the whole union leadership and ended the widespread corruption of the union under UMW President Tony Boyle. In 1982, on this day, a series of landslides near California kills up to 33 people and closes the Golden Gate Bridge. In all, an amazing 18,000 different landslides took place in the San Francisco Bay Area following a very heavy rainstorm. Isn't it ironic that we had the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge and the landslides on pretty much the same day? Yeah, you could have thrown 150 years in between, but eventually, things all come to fruition. In 1643, in the first record of legal divorce in the American colonies, Anne Clark of the Massachusetts Bay Colony is granted a divorce from her absent and adulterous husband, Dennis Clark, by the Quarter Court of Boston, Massachusetts. In a signed and sealed affidavit represented to John Winthrop, Jr., the son of the colony's founder, Dennis Clark admitted to a wife with whom he had two children, for another woman with whom he had another two children. He also stated his refusal to return to his original wife, thus giving the Puritan court no option but to punish Clark and to grant a divorce to his wife, Anne. The Quarter Court's final decision read, Anne Clark, being deserted by Dennis Clark, her husband, and he refusing to accompany with her, she is granted a be divorced. Granted to be divorced. First divorce in 1643, and of all places in the Massachusetts Puritan colony, where you thought everything was on the straight and narrow, but not quite. In 1945, on this day, Japanese pilots received the first order to become kamikaze, meaning divine wind in Japanese. The suicidal blitz of the kamikazes revealed Japan's desperation in the final months of World War II. Most of Japan's top pilots were dead, but youngsters needed little training to take planes full of explosives and crash them into ships. At Okinawa, they sank 30 ships and killed almost 5,000 Americans. In 1895, French officer Alfred Dreyfus, condemned for passing military secrets to the Germans, is stripped of his rank in a humiliating public ceremony in the courtyard of Paris École Militaire. The Jewish artillery captain, flimsy evidence in a highly irregular trial, began his life sentence on the notorious Devil's Island prison in French Guiana 4 months later. 1968, Antonin Novotny, the Stalinist ruler of Czechoslovakia, is succeeded as first secretary by Alexander Dubček, a Slavic who supports liberal reforms. In the first few months of his rule, Dubček introduced a series of far-reaching political and economic, including increased freedom of speech and the rehabilitation of political dissidents. Dobzhik's effort to establish communism within a human face was celebrated across the country, and the brief period of freedom became known as the Prague Spring. 1976, on this day, Khmer Rouge leader Pol Pot announces a new constitution changing the name of Cambodia to Kampuchea and legalizing its communist government. During the next 3 years, his brutal regime sent the nation back to the Middle Ages and was responsible for the deaths of an estimated 1 to 2 million Cambodians. 1998, in his characteristically blunt and self-deprecating manner, Sonny Bono transformed himself relatively later in life, morphing from the shorter, homelier, masculine half of the 1960s husband and wife singing and acting sensation alongside his glamorous third wife, Cher, into a respected California lawmaker and U.S. congressman. But on January 5th, 1998, Bono's unusual journey was cut tragically short when he was killed in a skiing accident while on vacation with his family in South Lake Tahoe, California. 1980, hip-hop's roots as a musical phenomenon are subject to debate, but its roots as a commercial phenomenon are much clearer. They trace back directly to January 5th, 1980, when the song Rapper's Delight became the first hip-hop single ever to reach the Billboard Top 40. In 1846, boldly reversing its long-standing policy on free and open occupation in the disputed Oregon Territory, the U.S. House of Representatives passes a resolution calling for an end to British-American sharing of the region. The United States, one congressman asserted, had the right of our manifest destiny to spread over our whole continent. In 1949, on this day, President Harry S. Truman announces in his State of the Union address that every American has a right to expect from our government a fair deal. Missing out on that right now there, President Truman. 1972, presidential history, Richard Nixon signs a bill authorizing $5.5 million in funding to develop a space shuttle. The space shuttle represented a giant leap forward in the technology of space travel. Designed to function more like a cost-efficient, reusable plane than a one-use-only rocket-launched capsules, the shuttle afforded NASA pilots and scientists more time and space with which to conduct space-related research. NASA launched Columbia, the first space shuttle, in 1981. And now that entire program has ended. And in 1920, on this day, the New York Yankees Major League Baseball announces its purchase of the heavy-hitting outfielder named George Herman Babe Ruth from the Boston Red Sox for the sum of $125,000. That is Today in History from History.com for January 5th, 2015. Yep, I did it again, 2016. Took me a couple more days before I actually get to it, but 2016 it is. Well, we move on to talk about things that are going on in Hunterdon County. And it wasn't too long ago when I was talking on the radio about how mild the temperatures were. But I was also talking about how you should probably get your chimney and or the flue cleaned. And because every year, somehow, some way, we eventually run into people who run into house fires or chimney fires. Well, with the colder weather, of course, that's exactly what's starting to happen. So there's an article here by Emily Cummins on NJ.com on January 3rd. She reports that a New Year's Day chimney fire put out in Lebanon Township. Homeowners were inside at the time of a chimney fire in Lebanon Township. It happened on Friday, January 1st. First responders were dispatched at 5:15 p.m. to a chimney fire at 21 Rocky Run Road in Lebanon Township, and the fire was contained to the interior of the chimney, according to officials at the scene. The fire department had to clean out the blockage in the chimney in order to extinguish the fire. Lebanon Township Police, Lebanon Township Fire Department, Glen Gardner Fire Department, and Highbridge Fire Department responded to the fire, which was cleared at 6:30 p.m. An additional chimney fire was reported that day in Clinton Township. So you see, It's happening again. So for all you people that decide that you're going to start a fire, I understand it's unique, it's nostalgic, it's warm, but if you don't get the chimney cleaned or swept, we have problems. And everybody says it's not me, but we always have, unfortunately, fires. We've got some more here. Had another one in which an 88-year-old woman was killed in Reddington, victim of a fatal Reddington fire. She was 88, and Emily Cummins reports that the victim of Saturday's fatal Higginsville Road house fire was identified at 88-year-old Evelyn C. Miller, according to the Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Office. Our condolences go out to Mrs. Miller's family during this difficult time, Hunterdon County Prosecutor Anthony Kern stated in a news release issued Monday. It is important to keep in mind that our volunteer first responders leave their homes and families at all hours of the day and night, weekends and holidays, to go out to render aid to the residents of Hunterdon County. The dedication and bravery of these men and women does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. Kearns thanks the volunteer first responders from Flagtown Fire Department, Three Bridges, Reddington, Raritan, Hillsboro, and White House for their sacrifice and exemplary service. While the fire is still under investigation by the Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Arson Task Force and the Reddington Township Police Department, Kearns stated in the release that it does not appear to be suspicious at this time. Firefighters and police arrived on Saturday, January 2nd at 6 a.m., and found the home engulfed in flames when rescue personnel who entered the home were initially stopped by intense heat, flames, and smoke. After battling back the flames, firefighters discovered the deceased body of an elderly female, Kern stated in the release. Additionally, one firefighter was treated for smoke inhalation at the scene. So, candles, electrical cords, chimneys. These are all things, and space heaters, that's the other one. These are all things that sound like a good idea at the time, but unfortunately lead to some type of problem. So you have to be more intelligent about what you're doing to make sure that you are not putting yourself and your family at risk. We are going to take a break now, and we'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon right after these messages.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out. I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why. You see, I'm 6'1", and I'm tons of fun, and I dress to a D. You see, I got more clothes than Muhammad Ali, and I dress so viciously. I got bodyguards, I got two big guns that definitely ain't the whack. I got a Lincoln Continental and some new Cadillac.
There it is. That's Rapper's Delight, beginning of hip-hop, or the bane of our existence. Some people look at it each different way, right? So, we have more things to talk about, lots of things out there to still discuss on Huntington County and Huntington County News. Catching up, we have some folks that we want to praise, and that's the RVCC Lifeguards, praised by the Branchburg Police as they honor the RVCC lifeguards for saving a man. Staff at NJ Advanced Media for NJ.com on the 4th announced that Raritan Valley Community College graduates Scott Jordan of Clinton and Catherine Espinel of Bound Brook were honored recently by the Branchburg Township Police Department for their life-saving efforts at the college's swimming pool last spring. During an early morning lifeguarding shift in March, Jordan and Espinel assisted a senior citizen who began to feel dizzy and then went into a state of cardiac arrest. Jordan and Espinel immediately initiated CPR and brought the elderly man back from the unconsciousness before calling emergency services. Quote, "I am grateful to have had such dedicated and well-trained lifeguards on duty to respond to the emergency," said Aquatics Director George Eversman. "I am very proud of them." Since graduating from the college in May, both students have continued their education at four-year schools. Jordan is a student at Rowan University, and Espinel is continuing her education at Rutgers University. Raritan Valley Community College's main campus is located in Branchburg. Well, we talk about all that training, those CPR and lifeguard training. You never know when you're going to actually need it, but seem to come in very handy for those two individuals, and certainly for the person that they saved. A little follow-up on the bear hunt. 510 bears are killed during the 2015 New Jersey bear hunt, second highest harvest. So Justin Zaremba of NJ Advanced Media for NJ.com reported on the 4th that 510 bears were killed during the New Jersey's annual bear hunt in 2015, making it the second highest harvest since it resumed in 2010. The hunt that wrapped up last month was extended by 4 days when hunters failed to hit the State Department of Environmental Protection's target of 20-30% of tagged bears. Only 18% of tagged bears were killed during the harvest. In 2010, 592 bears were killed when the hunt resumed after a five-year hiatus. Still, the 2015 bear hunt yielded a significantly greater number of bears than the hunts of 2012, 13, and 14, in which fewer than 300 bears were killed each year. State officials have attributed the increased harvest in part to better weather conditions. According to the DEP, some areas of Sussex County have as many as 3 bears per square mile. Bob Considine, a DEP spokesman, has said other states with healthy bear populations have a population density of 1 bear per 3 square miles. Based on those figures, some parts of Sussex have a population density 9 times greater than other states with healthy bear populations. The most recent hunt didn't set any records, though despite a claim to the contrary made by Governor Chris Christie on the campaign trail in New Hampshire on Sunday. This year, we killed more bear than ever before, and I extended it to make it longer because we've gotten more and more reports of bears coming into suburban neighborhoods, Christie said. Reintroduced in 2010, the aim of the annual bear hunt, according to the DEP, is to keep the black bear population in check by balancing out the number of cubs born every year, known as recruitment. Animal rights activists and environmental groups have regularly protested the hunt and criticized Christie's support of the hunt, saying killing the animals is neither a humane nor an effective long-term solution. It continues to be a debate. I know it doesn't sound great, but if you've ever gone through and learned about how overpopulation eventually erodes even the healthy animals, you need to come up with something. Now, it doesn't mean that this is the long-term solution. Maybe there is a better way, a more scientific way of doing it. But we've made our own mess. We've eradicated the predators of bears, and the bears have come, and they don't fear anything, and they continue to populate. Same problem with the deer. We continue to have them grow into our population. We don't do anything about it. And I believe that more and more deer are cramming into a smaller and smaller space. I had a professor from RVCC explaining how damaging the deer population is to our environment and how much time it's going to take for us to repair our environment after we do something about the deer. But we still got to do something about the deer. We have the same problem with the bear. If we don't do something about it, they're going to continue to multiply, and eventually we're going to have more and more problems. So it's easy to look at this from a small lens, but you got to look at the bigger picture and come up with a better way to deal with this. And finally, before we go on, we have some planned renovations that are going to take place at Logan Inn, which could add 17 rooms. I don't even know where Logan Inn is, so let's find out where it is. It's in New Hope. Sally Graziano reports that a buyer who refurbished the Ryland Inn in Reddington a few years ago is now taking on renovation and expansion of the Logan Inn. Landmark Hospitality, headquartered in Jersey City, bought the historic inn at $5.6 million. Addison Wolf Real Estate announced Monday. That's the largest commercial real estate transaction in recent history in New Hope, said realtor Karen Black, who represented Landmark Hospitality. This deal has been in the works for some time and promises to remake the face of downtown New Hope while remaining true to the building's historic roots and New Hope's distinctive character, said Black. Landmark Hospitality has had an impressive track record of restoring historic commercial properties and turning them into remarkable destinations that complement their environment. The same will be true for the Logan Inn. The new owners have already introduced a new menu that's a bit more casual. Established in 1722 as a tavern, the Logan Inn at 10 West Ferry Street in Bucks County, oldest and only in-town continuously operational inn on the National Historic Register of Historic Places. Frank Critella, who I've had on my show to talk about the Ryland Inn, principal of Landmark Hospitality, intends to work closely with the New Hope's Historical Architectural Review Board and Doylestown architect Ralph C. Fay. Landmark's plans call for constructing two additional permanent structures that will add 17 new guest rooms and a pebbled courtyard. Along with the Logan Inn and the Ryland Inn, Landmark operates Liberty House Restaurant in Jersey City, Stone House at Sterling Ridge in Warren, and Celebrate a Snug Harbor in Staten Island. The company also recently unveiled its New Hope property, the fully renovated Hotel de Village on River Road. As we did with the Ryland Inn and White House Station a few years ago, our intention is to return the Logan Inn to its true landmark status, said Critella. Logan Inn has been a centerpiece for New Hope since the dawn of this town, and we intend to renew its promise, restore its history, and remake it as a showplace of fine dining and lodging for the hundreds of thousands of people who visit the area annually. Well, I know we had some new purchasers of the Union Hotel. I'm curious, though, as to why Mr. Critella never actually took upon it to get the Union Hotel. Perhaps if the Union Hotel continues to falter, maybe Mr. Critella will find it in his heart to somehow figure out a way to restore the Union Hotel back to its historic greatness. We'll see. We need to have it happen soon. The Flemington is desperately in need of that to turn around so that everything else that is based upon it and positioning for it to take place, in fact, helps out at some point. We are going to take another break, and we will be back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a few minutes. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today. It is time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio Sports Scores and Calendar for our five regional high schools. We are looking at the calendar. We just kind of brought it back to life after the holidays, and there really isn't anything posted at the moment, so can't give you any scores today, but I can give you the calendar. So let's go and check and see what is scheduled for the next couple of days. So, today at 3:45, we have a basketball game. South Hunterdon travels to North Plainfield. 3:45. At 7 o'clock, Bound Brook will be at Delaware Valley. North Hunterdon will tip off at Hunterdon Central at 7. And Voorhees will be at Bernard's. Girls varsity basketball at 7 o'clock. North Plainfield will be at South Hunterdon. Pingree at Voorhees. Delval at Mount St. Mary. And Central at North Hunterdon. Bowling today at 3:15. South Hunterdon will be at Watchung Hills at Stelton Lanes. Central will be at Franklin at 3:45 at Majestic Lanes. Voorhees will be at Ridge for fencing. And that happens at 4 o'clock. And Central will be at North Hunterdon for an intercounty fencing matchup at 4:30. More fencing, Voorhees at Ridge for girls fencing at 4 o'clock. Central at North Hunterdon, 4:30 for more girls fencing. Swimming, Mount St. Mary travels to Hunterdon Central. It happens at Raritan Valley Community College Pool, 5:15, both boys and girls. There was a wrestling match scheduled at 7, but that has been changed to the 7th. Wednesday, the 6th, bowling match. Central's at Watchung Hills at 3:30. Both boys and girls. Ice hockey, the puck drops at 3:30. It's at Pro Skate. Central will be at Montgomery. The swimming match between North Hunterdon and Phillipsburg has been changed to the 11th. More swimming, Voorhees at Berners at 8:15 at Somerset Hills YMCA. The North Hunterdon and Phillipsburg swimming match, we already told you, has been postponed. That's girls as well. And wrestling, Delaware Valley at Warren Hills, 7 p.m., Bound Brook will host Central at 7 p.m. On Thursday, we have basketball. Immaculata travels to Central at 5:15. Belvedere will be at South Hunterdon at 7. Voorhees will be at Bound Brook at 7. North Hunterdon will host Watchung Hills at 7. And Somerville will host Delaware Valley. Delaware Valley will be at Somerville at 7, and Voorhees will be at Bound Brook. Girls basketball, South Hunterdon at Belvedere at 7. Delaware Valley hosts Somerville at 7, North Hunterdon at Watchung Hill, Central at Immaculata, Somerville at Del Valle, and Hunterdon Central at Immaculata. Bowling, Hunterdon Central and Watchung Hill's bowling match was changed to the 6th. It will not take place on the 7th. Fencing match, Voorhees is at Pingree. Don't have a time yet. Central will be at Bernard's at 6:30 for both boys and girls fencing. And wrestling match, North Hunterdon at Voorhees at 7 and Hackettstown at Del Valle at 7. On Friday, just 3 events. The 8th, Mount St. Mary is at Voorhees for girls basketball at 7. At 6:15, the puck drops when Rumson Fairhaven travels to Central. It happens at Flemington Ice. And winter track varsity invitational happens at 4:30. It will be at Drew University. It's the Cliff Back Invitational. That is Hunterdon Chamber Radio Sports Scores and Calendar for 5 regional high schools. Please support our local athletes. They love playing for a crowd. They do it because they love their sport. Now, we do have some more sports news. Special lady here and part of Voorhees girls basketball, and that is Erin Jones. She enters the 1,000 point club. She hit an 11th. She's the 11th Vikings girl to reach this milestone. Voorhees High School senior Erin Jones grabbed a steal and drove in for a layup to become the school's 11th 1,000 point girls basketball scorer on Wednesday. Jones' milestone basket came at 3:45 remaining in the third quarter during the Vikings' 47-34 victory over Pennington School in the Lawrence High School Holiday Tournament Final. The senior, who was named the tournament's most valuable player, finished with 14 points and now has 1,004 for her career. "Now that it's over, it feels so good," the University of Hartford recruit told Ray Clark in New Jersey Advance Media. "It's something I've had on mind to do since my freshman year. This was really special and couldn't have done it without my teammates." The Vikings improved to 4-0 on the season. So she's got some some hill to climb, though. The number one scorer on the Voorhees team in the 1,000-point club is Sue Altman. She has 1,847 points from 96 to 2000. Wow. That is severely, significantly higher than the second-place person, Jen Riley, from 83 to 87 with 1,281 and 1,217 by Heidi Hintz from 75 to 79 and 1,216 from Sarah Perkins from 93 to 97. Wow. So she's got a long ways to go, but hey, she made the club and she's still got some more time to go. So she'll, it appears from what I'm looking here, she could climb easily 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 positions. She could make it to almost 8th if the season goes well for her. So she could make a pretty big impact in a very short period of time. So congratulations to Erin Jones, obviously, for a milestone and something that she had her mind set for quite some time. Now, in addition to that, where we have competition in sports, we have another competition, and that's piano. And Tom Flynn of Clinton Township takes first prize in a Russian music competition. The staff at NJ Advanced Media reported on the 4th that a sophomore at North Hunterdon High School and a music student at Hunterdon Academy of the Arts, he got to Carnegie Hall at the 12th annual Russian Fall Russian Music Festival competition of the Talented Young Musicians Association, held on November 1st in Greenbrook. Tom took home first prize, and as a result, in recognition of his achievement, Tom performed in Weill Recital Hall in Carnegie Hall on December 5th. Tom has been playing piano for a little less than 2.5 years under the tutelage of Walter Aparicio of Hunterdon Academy of the Arts in Flemington. And Tom's dedication to piano and many hours spent practicing have paid off. On December 6th, the day after performing at Carnegie Hall, Tom performed at the Piano Teachers Congress in New York's incentive program at Shelter Studios in 54th Street impressing the judges with his solid performance. He was selected to return the following weekend to perform in their encore recital at the same location, along with students of the same caliber from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. In addition, Tom has been invited by the Piano Teachers Congress of New York to attend their master class in January in New York City, taught by famous Russian pianist Dr. Dmitry Rachmaninoff, professor of piano at California State University. Northridge and chair of keyboard studies. Hailed as an indisputable musician by the Brussels Les Soirs and Suave gifted pianist by the New York Times, Rachmaninoff has played at venues such as New York's Carnegie Hall, Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center, London's Babakin and South Bank Centers, Beijing Concert Hall, and Shanghai Oriental Art Center. And his tours have taken him to Mexico, Europe, Russia, Turkey, and the Far East. Concerning his piano studies, Tom said, "I really enjoy piano because it allows me to create some of my favorite music. I never get bored of it because it is a great combination of mental, physical, and emotional tasks. I enjoy taking piano from Hunterdon Academy of the Arts because my teacher is amazing and helps me to get past things in the music that are difficult. In my free time, I listen to many types of music, but primarily classical. My favorite composer is probably Frédéric Chopin, and after graduating high school, I would like to study physics or math, and I would be interested in working at a university or place of research. I don't think I'll choose music as a career, but I know I will appreciate it all my life." In addition to teaching piano at HAA, Tom's piano teacher, Walter Aparicio, has a master's degree in music, is an adjunct instructor at New York University, a piano accompanist at the Chapin School of New York, runs the Walter Aparicio Piano Studio in New York, and serves on the executive board for the Piano Teachers Congress in New York. Of Tom, Aparicio said, "Tom is a self-motivated student who is curious, talented, and passionate about piano. This combination is satisfying for teachers, and as it makes the lessons engaging and stimulating, I am proud of all he has accomplished in such a short time." It's great stuff. Congratulations, Tom. And good luck to all that you do. 2.5 years in getting those types of accolades, you obviously have found a gift. Congratulations. It's remarkable, really, to realize how important music can be in one person's life and how it enhances your life. So I highly recommend it, anybody that is interested in studying. South Hunterdon Regional High School District presents a free program for college-bound students and parents. It's going to be taking place, according to staff at NJ Advanced Media, at South Hunterdon Regional High School, and South Hunterdon Regional Educational Association will present a free special program for college-bound students and their parents. It happens on January 9th. Practice SAT and ACT for students from 9 a.m. to 1. Financial aid seminar for parents at 12, presented by the Premier College Funding. Come to breakfast in the high school commons and make a donation to NJ Sharing Network in memory of beloved teacher Larry Nemeth. And last but not least, the Lebanon Township School District offering preschool program for ages 3 to 4. Lebanon Township School District will offer a preschool program for children aged 3 and 4 for the 2016-17 school year. There are a limited number of spaces that will be chosen at a lottery drawing to be held at the district's February Board of Education meeting. Details regarding the program, as well as application forms, are available on the district's website at lebtwpk8.org or by calling the Valley View School 908-832-2175. We are going to take another quick break, and we will be back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a few minutes.
White bird with a black tail, Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disitel, ceremony officiant with celebrationofalifetime.com. I joined the chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Finishing up our day here. Well, I'm finishing up my day, but we're finishing up. So we got things still to talk about, up-and-coming events and things to circle on your calendar. So let's get on over to it. Hunterdon County is seeking comments on updated open space trust fund plan. Staff at NJ Advanced Media reported on the 30th that Hunterdon County Board of Chosen Freeholders has directed the Division of Planning Services staff member Bill Millett to complete a reexamination of the Open Space Trust Fund plan that was adopted in 2000 as a response to the county open space tax referendum. So here we are 16 years later, and I guess we're having a little reevaluation. The Open Space Trust Fund plan is required by state statute and was created to formalize county goals and recommendations for the management of Open Space Trust Fund. The final draft of the updated Hunterdon County Open Space Trust Fund plan is posted on the main county website, cohunterdon.nj.us, along with a spreadsheet showing changes based on comments received to date. Paper copies are available at the planning office. The draft plan also includes an open space and recreational development and maintenance plan required by statute to allocate open space funds to develop, improve, and maintain county and municipal open space lands. The county encourages municipal officials, planning boards, environmental commissions, and the public to review the draft document and provide comments. Comments may be submitted via email to planning@co.hunterdon.nj.us. The county will accept comments at the upcoming Hunterdon County Parks and Open Space Advisory Committee meeting being held on Tuesday, January 19, 2016 at 7 p.m. in the Assembly Room at the Route 12 County Complex, Building 1. To call 908-788-1490 for further information. The Hunterdon County Quilting Guild will be meeting on January 15th. Staff at NJ Advanced Media reports that the Hunterdon County Quilting Guild will meet January 15th at 9:30 a.m. at 124 Reddington Road in Reddington. Following the business meeting and light refreshments, six guild members will lead a round robin of mini workshops and lessons on selected techniques related to quilting. For more information, email huntertoncountyquiltingguild@gmail.com or visit hcqgnews.tripod.com. That's HCQG, Hunterdon County Quilting Guild, news.tripod.com. And some events that are sitting there on the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce's calendar. We have Leeds Exchange tomorrow. Time to reborn, rebirth of your business. Get back to networking. Get back to what is going to help you. Al Warren and I talk about this all the time. Here you have it. You have the ability to do a free networking before you even start your day. It happens over at the Holiday Inn in Clinton, 111 West Main Street in Clinton. It happens at 7:45 to 9 a.m. Develop the business relationships that can improve your bottom line. Network, exchange business cards, and present your business to the group. Admission is included in your chamber membership. Non-members may attend twice before joining the chamber. A continental breakfast compliments of the Holiday Inn Clinton is presented. Now, here's the deal, folks. If you're looking to see if you're going to make a sale that day, you're not going to be successful. If you want to make some long-term relationships where people are looking out for you, well, here's an opportunity to take an hour and 15 minutes and start making some business friendships and bounce some ideas off one another. People want to know what you need as far as customers. They might not necessarily be customers, but they might know of people. And if they find you trustworthy and truthful and genuine, then they will send people your way. Likewise, they're hoping that you will learn about them, the other business members, and do the same when you hear about a particular customer that needs something. Bring business cards. Make sure you have a 20-second elevator pitch about your business. Also be prepared to talk to your table about your business for 2 minutes. And then you will select a business card of one of the people in that room. And somebody else in that room will select your business card, which will give you two more opportunities to have a longer-term meet and greet with two people from that room. All the business cards will be copied, Xeroxed, whatever you want to call them, and they will be handed out for capturing the information. So you don't need a lot of business cards, but you will be getting a lot of business information, and you can start to build relationships. This is how you will grow your business. There are a couple more of these Leeds Exchanges. There's Leeds Exchange West. It takes place on Wednesday, January 13th, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. That happens in Frenchtown at Brokaw Photography, 34 Bridge Street, in suite number 2. Bill also always has a guest speaker at that evening event, and that admission is once again free for members and non-members alike. Two members, two visits by a non-member, and then you have to join the chamber. And Leeds Exchange Central happens at the Hampton Inn in Flemington, 14 Royal Road. It happens at 7:45 to 9 on January 20th. Same thing, same format. Business cards, continental breakfast at the Flemington Hampton Inn. Can't beat it. And you'll be back to work before you ever knew it. The Women's Business Forum of Hunterdon County is meeting on January 12th from noon to 1. So it's an opportunity for you to learn about women in business in and around Hunterdon County, a group of ladies getting together to work, talk about personal and professional information, and a little bit of a networking group from a female point of view. So that's happening over there at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, second floor. And lastly, the Chamber's 100th birthday is going to be January 26th, Tuesday. More information to come, but please prepare for the centennial of the Chamber of Commerce. How about that? It's been 100 years already. And I think Chris Phelan has probably presided over 94 of them. At least that's my guess, anyway. Anyway, that's the whole spiel there. Lots of great things to do. Circle your calendars and enjoy getting your business back on the off the ground. All right, it's been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And enjoy getting your business back on the off the ground. All right, it's been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to